Turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are delivering us from the power of the flesh. You've already delivered us from the power of the flesh, but you are constantly delivering us from the power of the flesh through the word of God. Through the word of God and through the Holy Spirit, you are delivering us through the from the power of this flesh. So, Father, today, as we open your word, we thank you that you are showing us how to become transformed as we believe and as we walk in what we believe. So we give you praise and thanks and glory for it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Norman, can you? I think I'm feeding back just a little bit up here. You might turn down the right main. That kind of lowers the volume without lowering the recording. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, well, good, he's coming to the end. Finally, my brethren, this will be my first closing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against We do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, in view of this, take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a minute. So he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what?
His might.
His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, we're sitting here together as a body. We're sitting here hearing the Word of God, hearing the truth, hearing the gospel, hearing what God has written down by holy men of old through the Scriptures, through the Spirit. And so He is doing this. He is writing this for our benefit. Paul, having been filled with the Word of God, from a youth, one of their top scholars, and then touched by the Holy Spirit, is now imparting the revelation of the entire Old Testament in the New Testament to make known what is the mystery of Christ revealed in the Old Testament and then delivered to us. I believe that Paul, being filled with the Word of God, and then filled with the Spirit, opened and created the entire New Testament. I believe the part that Paul wrote. I believe this, is that the Word of God, because the Word promises this, is that the Word of God is transforming you and me. As we avail ourselves of the Word of God, then that word is transforming me, and I'm becoming joyful and not afraid and not scared and not worried and not wondering what the next day is bringing or wondering why I am where I am spiritually. The Word and the Spirit do not come to bring doubt. Do not come to lay upon you doubts about where you are. Well, you know, you should be doing a little better. You should be fixing up. You should be doing this. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He will bring to, He will convict of sin, but He does not convict of sin so you will perform. He convicts of sin to show you what He has already done and what He is working on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Bring your friends.
Yeah.
See, they're over there at that other place learning how to get rid of sin. I'll tell you, this is how to get rid of sin. Amen? This is how to get rid of sin. Is you meditate on the Word of God. Is you're hearing what God is saying through the Spirit. Because you're worshiping Him and praising Him and thanking Him. Not because you have to do something to get somewhere. Amen. Are you trying to get somewhere? Stop it. You've already arrived. Sorry to yell. You've already arrived. Say, I've arrived. Now, I know Paul said, not that I have obtained. Not that I have attained. We are what do you call it? Painfully aware that you have not attained. But you have attained. You have not attained outwardly. We can see that. But we're not worried about that. And some of your friends are. Your wife may be. Your husband may be. But you're not. And God's not. God's not worried about the fact that Norman has not yet made it. Hallelujah. Hope that's a relief to you. God's not worried about the fact that Chris has not made it. Amen. Chris is in Christ. That's all that matters. And he's listening. And he's hearing the Holy Ghost. He's reading the Word of God. He's being changed. Do you believe you're being changed? I believe Nick's being changed. Hallelujah. It's true. No, don't look at him. He's true. He's being changed. Amen. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whole nother message. So be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Say, I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
You know, people hate it when you tell them to say stuff. I've heard it. Brother, I hate it when you tell us to say stuff. Good. Means you need to say it. You know, you need to hear it in your own ears. I encourage people to read the Word with your mouth open. I encourage you to read the Word with your mouth open so you can hear it in your own ears. Amen? To read it among your family. I mean, not just among your family. You need to read it yourself, but just you. It's not just a family Bible reading. It's you too. It's just you. You have your family, and whether you're on track or on every night or every week or whatever you're doing, it's not a law, but it is important to read that, to have your own study, not just the family study, but your own personal study, because God is going to show you how to lead. Amen? See, listen, God's teaching you how to lead. If you're here, God's teaching you how to lead. He's teaching you how to be a leader. He's not teaching you how to just sit here for 100 years. Amen? Say amen. He's teaching you how to lead. Now, I don't know if you're going to be a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or a deaconess, or if you're going to be a leader in the world, in your profession. But you're a leader no matter where you are. If you have a place that you do business, your face is out there shining. Your face is out there declaring one thing or another. Amen? You're declaring one thing or another every day you step out the door. Hallelujah. You are a declaration of the gospel. I tell young people when they're getting married, their marriage is not just for them to have a wonderful, happy life. Amen. You got a kid getting married sometime soon? Already did? When did that happen? December? Praise the Lord. Does he know he's an example? Yeah. Yeah, see, he's an example. He is an example. He and his wife are an example and a testimony of the Word of God. and of the kingdom of heaven. When you are married, you are an example of the kingdom of heaven before the world. Amen. This is you. This is who you are. You don't get to just hide out in your house and just live like nothing matters. Because you are a kingdom individual, a kingdom being. The only reason you're here is to declare the gospel. Say amen. Yeah. The only reason I'm here is to declare the gospel, whether it's at the grocery store or whether it's at work or wherever I am. The only reason I exist, to go to school. And God may help you with that school thing. But the reason that you are there is to be a demonstration of the gospel. Why? Is God interested in perpetuating this world and causing it to become something wonderful? No. Read the back of the book. This thing does not end well. Except for you. Amen? Because this world is passing away. Everybody under 25, raise your hand. Real high. I can't see anymore. Norman is under 25. Awesome. That is a man of faith. Okay, keep your hand raised. Say this world, all you guys, you 2,500 guys, say this world, I mean, no, come on, y'all do that better than a football game.
Yeah.
Say this world, okay, I'll turn this off. I know when I was under 25, I hated saying stuff like that. I remember, you know, they used to teach you about, you know, saying, well, the Jesus is coming. We were going, wait, stop, don't. I haven't done anything yet. I want to get married. Now, everybody under 50, raise your hand. You still feel that way? I want to get married. I want to have kids. I wish Jesus would have come when I was 25. Hallelujah. No, but this is your testimony. This is who you are. You are a demonstration of the gospel. And when you're in school, you're not in school to go to school. You're in school to declare the gospel. Amen? You are a light. Boy, this sounds like good preaching. Amen. It is, because it's the truth. I mean, there's no reason otherwise to be here because this world is... Can't hear you. Thank you. All right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. You can't be strong in the power of anything but His might. Put on the whole armor of God. We'll get to that, obviously, in a minute. That you may be able to what? Stand. That you may be able to stand. God talks a lot about standing. About standing. Not falling over. But standing. As in a stance of not giving away your advantage. Amen? You have an advantage. Amen. You have an advantage. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're standing because you've been empowered. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I am indwelt. I'm not going to tell you to say it. I'll just say it. I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. I have no power nor strength of my own. I am weak. And I have no ability. I shouldn't even be standing here. I have no strength, no ability, no power. The only reason I stand here is because God said, stand there. God said, preach. I can't. God said, do this. You know, somebody else might say, he can't. You know, it doesn't matter what somebody else says. What it matters is what the Word of God says and then what God tells you.
All right.
To stand up and follow what God told you to do. Because you aren't doing it in your own power. How many of you have you done some things that were just odd?
Yeah.
No, I don't mean that. No, some things that were just odd for you, especially. Stuff that you just never would have done. Amen? Some of you, that's the reason you got married to the person you got married to. It's something odd. I was having a brother the other day, yesterday sharing with me that he was headed to Tennessee, and everything flipped and turned around. He ended up in Fort Worth for 2 weeks, and he's been in Fort Worth, met his wife, and been working here for, a number of years. Had no intention, didn't want to be here. But God changed his whole plan. My plan was not to come to Fort Worth from Tulsa. Janet and I had gotten married. We moved up to Tulsa. We were from here. We moved up to Tulsa to go to school, Bible school. And I was involved in a large church up there and had a lot of good friends and good connections, glory to God. Yeah. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to plug right in there and you're going to be part of that outfit. Amen?
Amen.
Going to get in on that outfit. Then I got home for a wedding. Yeah, just for a weekend. Didn't intend to be here long. I was already finished with school. We came down for some of our dear friends were getting married, finally. And I was the first one in my outfit to get married. That's hard on a single guy to have all your single friends not married. Actually, it's hard on the new wife is what it is. To have a guy that, Shannon knows all about that. Your guy's the first one of the gang to get married, and all his friends are still single guys. In fact, Jordan is down to where he's the last guy standing, actually. And I can't tell you anything more about that. Anyway, but all of that to say is that, what was I saying? Danny, help me out. Oh, yeah, Fort Worth. Yeah. So I was going to Fort Worth. Thanks for saving me. And I came down here, and I was at my dad's house. And he'd been over to Pastor Jim's new church. Have y'all heard this story before? Oh, really? That's amazing. So he was over at Pastor Jim's new church back in 1980. And he'd gotten a bulletin over there. See, my mom and my stepdad used to go to, went to King of Glory. Of course, I was a charter member. 1965. And so we were there for many years, and Pastor Jim had gone and started the new church in 1980, and he had a bulletin out there on the table at my dad's house, and it says, here's 20, on the back of the bulletin, says, you know how they do on the back of the bulletin, 20 things that the church needs done. So I was looking at the back of that thing. God said, go tell Jim you'll do that. I said, no, I got plans, and I know people are expecting me up there in Tulsa town. Well, then God's, you know how God is, he's persistent. If nothing else, he's not persistent, he's persistent. So he says it again. I said, I don't want to do that. And then he come at me again. Third time. Go tell Jim you'll do that stuff. Okay. So I went over. I actually left that house. I don't know if I went and talked to Janet or not, but I went and talked. I think I probably did. I let her know what might happen, and I went over there, Jim. God said, I'm supposed to do all this stuff for y'all. And he said, really? So at the time, we had our elders that we had here at the time, and he went and prayed, and we went back home, and I got a call a few days later. He said, come ahead. We'll give you $5.35 an hour for 20 hours a week. Now, there was a confirmation. Glory to God. So, here we come. I had no intention to come to Fort Worth. But you know what? Here I am. 30 years later. This year will be 30 years. 1981 to 2011. It'll be 30 years. You know what? It's worth it. Because God said it. Amen? What God says, follow it. Has it been trouble? Yeah. Has it been up? Yep. Has it been down? Yep. Having done all, stand. Become in the power of His might. God is leading you. God is guiding you. God is showing you. Whatever it is, follow Him. Put on the whole, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, there in this last 30 years, there have been a lot of wiles. There's been a lot of wiles of the devil, Paul. Amen? There's been a lot of wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, you know, anybody know what that is, what the wiles are? Anybody heard of Wile E. Coyote? Anybody heard of Wile E. John Price over there in Dallas? Oh, is that not? That's not it. It's like Wile E. Coyote. He's the Wile E. Coyote. He's always working a plan to get that roadrunner. Anybody here under 25? There's this coyote, and he's always trying to get this roadrunner with TNT and everything else. And that's how the devil is. He's always trying to get you with he's wiring up everything. He's working a thing miles out just to catch you when you come by. And you know what? He always gets blown up in his own thing. The guy is just persistent. Mark, he's persistent. He is persistent. You know what? The devil is persistent. But he said that you may be able to stand against all the plans of the devil. All the ideas that the devil has that he's going to snuff you out and stop you and drop you and roll you. Amen? Now listen, that you may be able to stand, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Now we need to find out what that is. That you may be able to stand against the plans and the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not, now let's read this, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means we wrestle not against people. It seems like we do. There's lots of people out there. It's causing me a lot of trouble. Amen? Yes. It appeareth so. Your trouble's not people. Jesus didn't even say His trouble was people. His trouble was the plan of the enemy to destroy the salvation of Jesus Christ. You know what the enemy wants to destroy? Your preaching. He wants to destroy your testimony and your preaching. He wants to stop you from opening your mouth and declaring the love of God. Amen? Let's get you all worked up in your own little problem. Let's get you all worked up in your own little area of not being able to perform, not being able to do what you should do, not being able to look like what you should look like, quote unquote. Amen? Anybody hear me? How many times are we just wound up in our bathroom mirror? We're just wound up in how I look. Tom should never be wound up in how he looks or what his position or condition is. He's got one God, and it's not him, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mark's got one God, it's just Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You've got one God, it's Jesus Christ, and not you. Where you're looking at yourself and seeing how well you've performed today. Well, looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. Whoa, whoa. Trying to clean up. Quit looking. Quit checking. Look at Him. Don't look at you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Here's what you wrestle against. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations, that is those things that we think, our thoughts that have just come up out of our own juices, that just come up out of our own interpretations of what we think, how we think things should be going, or how we think things should have turned out, or how we think we should have performed in a given situation. You know what? You didn't. Keep moving. Amen? How many times are you just trapped in your own disappointment? Hallelujah. Amen? I'm telling you what, you just get trapped in it. You just get trapped in your own disappointment of your own performance. And that may have nothing to do with God. That just may have to do with what you do in this world. It may just have to do with your business. It may have to do with something somebody did to you. And you didn't respond in a way that was profitable, but you responded in a way that was unprofitable. Whether it was you punched them in the nose and they punched you back, punched them in the nose and you got arrested, or you just did something stupid to try to make the situation turn out for your benefit, and it just broke all apart. Hallelujah. All of these things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, for our warfare is not carnal. Amen? So what we do is we go to the face of Jesus. We go to the face of God in every circumstance, in every situation, to rejoice and to give praise in every circumstance and situation. Father, I thank you that in the midst of this circumstance, I am a victor. I am victorious, not meaning I win and they lose. What that means is I win. I can't lose. There is nothing in this world in which I may lose. I cannot lose. Hallelujah. Because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm born of Jesus Christ. My Father dwells in heaven. And I walk daily because of what He has done. I'm excited. You can't beat me. You can't get me down. Now, is there a thing that would come and rise up and say, you know, just, hey, well, what about that? Sure. I have an emotional response. You know what? But it doesn't last. It can't last. Amen? I know that. It can't last. Because I know whom I have believed. And He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. There is nothing that shall by any means hurt you. I didn't memorize these for today to preach them to you. Amen? This is how we live. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is how I live. I live by every word which is coming out of the mouth of God, which is all the promises in Him are what? Yes and amen. So I'm excited. Hallelujah. I know you are. I said, I know you are.
Hallelujah.
Casting down imaginations. What's that? My thought, my thinking, my brains. What I think about it. How I'm going to fix it. You know what? Quit thinking about how you're going to fix it. How you're going to punch that guy's lights out. You're going to rip that girl's hair out. Whatever. You know, all them things. Never thought of that. Hallelujah. How you're going to fix it. Glory to God, don't be fixing things. I learned that long time ago for me. Now Dave, he can fix things. I learned a long time ago, call Dave. When you need something, call Paul. Need something fixed, you can, well, I don't know if he wants me to give out his number. But I learned a long time ago, Dave, don't fix things. Dave does other things to things. Amen. Whew. Yeah, don't be laughing, some of you people. You like me. Yeah, you want to think you're handy dandy, but you know what? God didn't give you that gift. And your wife knows it. Every time he goes to fix something, it costs twice as much as buying a brand new one. Russell, don't laugh at the pastor. It's good when you know everybody's name, isn't it? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means listen to Jesus first. You had a thought, well, let's go find out what Jesus said about that thought. He said, no, that's not a good thought. No, that's going to get you in big trouble. Do it my way. It's like when he said, when I read that little bulletin, and he said, tell Jim you'll do those 20 things. You know, you just didn't want to say okay. You wanted to say what you wanted to say. Anybody want to say what they want to say? You got an idea? You know what? Your idea never has worked, has it? It might have worked once. But that was when God told you to do it that way. Or at least when he didn't say don't. All right, back over here, Ephesians 6. Preaching's always longer than you think it's going to be, even when you're doing it. You know that? So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but all these principalities in high places. Wherefore, verse 13, take to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now I've got about 30 or 40 scriptures just on standing. Just on standing. Because standing has to do with the fact that it's all been done, so now you just stand still. Just stand. Don't move. Stand. Having done all, well, I've done all, what else am I going to do? Stand. Well, people just don't like that, do they? Huh? How many of you people like to move? How many of you, you're in the middle of a parking lot on the freeway, and it's all you can do to not run over five cars, just trying to get out of there, just to keep moving? Anybody like that? How many of you just happy sitting there? How many of you just got to get out? Just got to keep moving. I know a guy like that. He's related to Dave. And you don't want to be driving when he's in the passenger seat. Go quick, go over there. Get in there. Jim, we're standing still. Oh. Did I say who it was? I said we're standing still. Everybody's standing still. Get over there. Squeeze in. You can squeeze in that place between those two guys. Oh. Said, next time you drive, brother, I'll just close my eyes. That's when you want to take the whole armor of God. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. Now, see, listen to it. It says it again. Verse 14. Stand therefore. Therefore what? Having your loins girt about, how do you stand? Having your loins girt about with truth. That's your, maybe your only garment you got on, your loins girt about, that's it. You know, just that may be all you have. But if you've got truth, that is, if you are born of the truth, if the truth of the Word of God and the promise that He gave that I love you and I've met all of your needs and I'm going to see you through every situation. If that's all you got, that's all you need. But you got to meditate on that. You got to meditate on that day and night.
Yes.
Wake up with it. Sleep with it. You know, when you're doing all you can to keep peddling, keep treading water, God's already got the solution. And you know what? You don't even have to find it. I'm doing my best to find that solution. I know God buried it here somewhere. God, the representation of the Word of God is not that God buries it somewhere and you got to go find it. Is it? Has that ever been the way that God handles things? No. God doesn't hide it in the ground and hope you find it. He actually comes out and just delivers it to you and delivers you out of the problem. Right? Here you are at the water's edge. You're in big trouble. Here comes Pharaoh right up behind you. Amen? And he wrote it down here in Exodus chapter 14. And he said, and Moses said to the people, fear you not. So he's telling you, brother, fear not. Stand still. No. Can you hear yourself? Can you hear yourself right now? If I were to say to you, stand still, and you're saying, no, I can't, I won't. There's sometimes when not standing still is rebellion against God. And I hate preaching that because I'm one of them. I'm one of those guys. I don't stand still very easily. It may not be for driving. I'm pretty patient with drivers and being on the road. I'm fairly patient with that. But there are other things I am impatient with in my flesh. And God's got to say, stand still. Don't move. Don't fix. I'm good at fixing stuff. I don't mean mechanical stuff, but I'm good at fixing other stuff. And I can fix it. But you know what? So many times when I fix it, it actually is not really fixed. It just appears fixed. It's actually a deeper, fatter mess. Because I'm doing it. Amen? Anybody like me? Hallelujah. Yeah, point at the person next to you. That's right. That's it. Amen. And Moses said to the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them no more again. Well, that sounds like a nifty promise. The Egyptians you see back there, you will not see them anymore after today. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Say it. The Lord will fight for me.
The Lord will fight for me.
And I'll hold my peace.
And I'll hold my peace.
That is, I'll keep my mouth shut. Amen. That's powerful stuff. So he says, stand therefore, back over here, Ephesians 6, 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and you can go find this armor actually over in Isaiah 59 if you want to, if you had a mind to, in Isaiah 59. Don't do it now. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel everywhere you go. You just leave gospel footprints everywhere you go. Somebody steps in it. Ooh, what's that? Well, they step in it, they'll be blessed. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace everywhere you go. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul says, for those who labor among you, as for those who are your teachers and your pastors, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's too much to follow up. We'll do it the next time we're together. But right now, just want to encourage you to put on the whole armor of God. Just even those things, we just read it. Go back and study. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. Because you do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Listen, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, you end up looking people in the face. You end up looking companies in the face. That is that person on the other end of the phone that you would just as soon swear and cuss out. Amen? Because they didn't get you through the way you wanted to get through. And you're not happy about, you don't believe in customer service. Because there's no such thing. Stand. Stand knowing that you are walking in the power of God and that you are His face and representation on the earth. You're walking around declaring the truth. You remember when Jesus left, He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. When He departed, when He went up in the cloud, He told His disciples, here's what you're going to do. Now don't leave town until you're endued with power from on high. And they didn't, because God came through with that too.
Amen.
He's endued you with power. He baptized them in the Holy Ghost. He said, this promise is for you and your children and even those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. To baptize them in the Holy Ghost so that they would be empowered to deliver the gospel to every creature. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good.
Yes.
God is good. Well, I hope you were blessed today.
Yes.
Let's stand together. If you need prayer this morning, you come down. The deacons will be down here to pray with you. If you have a need, if you have something that needs prayer, come down and get prayer. Don't goof around. You know, wait for somebody else. Wait for something else to turn up. Amen? Come down and pray. You may just not have anything necessarily big and heavy, but you just want somebody to agree with you.
All right.
Make a habit of joining together in prayer with somebody. Maybe you don't have to come down here. You can just turn left or right and say, hey, would you agree with me in this? I mean, you don't have to come find me or Jim. Just turn left or right and just talk to somebody else who's filled with the Holy Ghost next to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Every one of you here is filled with God if you're born again and you have an opportunity to preach and to talk and to share the good news and to pray with somebody. You don't have to have the right vocabulary. All you have to have is the promise. Amen. Father, we rejoice and thank You for Your message. We thank You for the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of joints and marrow, soul and spirit. And it is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Father, we thank You that Your declaration today is breaking down barriers and strongholds that we hadn't even known were there. We just kind of lived with it. But I thank You, Lord God, today that we take this into our prayer closet and we'd say, God, reveal to me those things where I've been standing on my own. Those things where I've been in the boss. I've been in charge. Or I've been fighting the devil. And Father, that You are now the one who I'm turning this thing over to You. I'm turning that circumstance right now, the one that's had me all bound up, the one that's had me in stitches. I drop it over on your doorstep right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, I know that you are the provision for me. So I cast all of my care upon you because you care for me. And we give you glory and thanks and praise for it. Thank you for bringing this people into a place of their word and their daily existence, their daily walk is one of demonstrating the gospel because they're worshiping God. Not because they're making some kind of a demonstration, but because they're talking to you and then you lead them. They follow you and people see. So we praise you and give you glory and thanks in Jesus' name.